The doo-wop.
Oh, man. All right.
Well, this is episode 83. I don't know if this will be a successful episode. We're having some technical difficulties.
It's
going to be a
successful episode,
here.
Man. It's always going to be a successful episode.
I appreciate, brother.
Because that's what they want you to think, that you're not going to be successful. But this here, this is the Terry Glenn episode, so we're going to be successful.
I knew you're gonna say Terry Glenn. Bro, Terry Glenn, do you remember how he used to catch the ball? Like, he would have his arm and hand. Yeah.
I mean, he was a technician, obviously, but, you know.
Yeah, episode 83 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. My name is Deion Tibbs, joined by my guy, my best friend, my best man, Dane Beasley. Dane, how you doing this early Saturday morning?
Pretty freaking good. Pretty freaking good, man. Pretty freaking good. Got a chance to kick it with my homies last night, so that was much needed therapeutic yes, session. Yeah. So that was pretty solid. On the other end. I forgot to call my brother back last night. So he's gonna give me hell about that.
This will be the first time he hears your voice.
Facts.
Oh, you could record a podcast, but you can't call me back.
Yeah, facts. Something like that. But yeah, since you two are Broncos fans, you're on the same vein in terms of trying to get at my throat for being a horrible human being. But not intentional, just. I don't know, it's weird when you spend most of your time communicating with people on the phone in terms of what you do for a living. It's hard to get back on the phone all the time. So it's like, it's a weird feeling. I can't explain it, but anywho, right. My bad, JB3. I'm sorry. Look, I'm hitting with the manipulation line. I'm only human. Although I strive to be I strive to be the best at everything that I do. Sometimes I fall short, and hopefully you as a human, you can forgive me of that as well. Yeah, if you hear people coming at you like that, that's like straight up manipulation, man. But my bad, JB.
Just go straight up, like you always do to me. Oh, man. Bro. So people always, or not always, but PUBG, people don't know what PUBG is. It's a game on, like, one of the first Battle Royale games, right? Was it the first one? Or was it Fortnite?
It was the best one. I don't know if it was the first one. It was up there, though.
Yeah. Dane and I started playing PUBG. It stands for Player Unknown Battlegrounds, for those that don't know. It's one of those Battle Royale games, last one, last man, last team standing kind of things. And that's how Dane and I really get to talk on, you know, besides over the phone and on the podcast. But my middle brother, Bo is on there, our homie Justin. Shout out to you guys. It's really like therapeutic, man. Like, because people always, or like, there's always discussion like, man, you're gonna play video games until you're 80. I'm like, yes, as long as I'm able.
It's bigger than that. It's the community.
Yeah.
It's the community. The community around the gaming. You can, the games will get you there, the community will keep you there. So, yeah. That's the best way I can
say. And like, you know how last week we talked about like my tough week and things like that, and being able to, you know, it's not even about the game part of it, but it's just like therapeutic, man.
It's the community.
Escape from, you know, the trials and tribulations of your everyday life. Not to say I'm like depressed or anything, but
as we take a dark turn on the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast.
It's very, you know, helpful in that sense, and you know, being able to have fun and connect with people you care about.
And you ain't got to leave the house, bro. That's the best thing about it. You ain't got to worry about paying $16,418 per gallon to leave the house. So that's another thing. But, you know.
I saw you. Well, maybe I thought I heard you mention yesterday about setting up your computer. But maybe I was thinking it was your desktop. But was that what you were talking about?
Yeah. So I actually... we'll need to narrow down which establishment I'm going to go buy my two screens from, because it's been too long and I've put it off far enough. just going ahead and dropping the bread for it and getting this set up.
Yeah. Look, so, you settled at the new crib now. Everything's kind of laid. Like, now it's time to get in the real, you know. You did that other adult stuff already. Now it's time to, you know, get in the nerd zone. You know what I'm saying? But
who the hell needs who needs appliances and stuff, man? Should have bought that stuff later on. Don't need no name refrigerator.
Look, who needs a couch? My company can sit on the floor and they
come. Yeah, you stay when you get here like an art gallery. And here's the living room. We have nothing here. There's a few curtains. There's the back door. But don't sit in my invisible sofa. That's my invisible sofa. Don't you sit there. Nah, but for real though. So I'll take care of that sometime today. I have no idea, but you know, just going to get my two screens. And shout out to Justin and shout out to Fella, man. They both have been my my tech experts I go to about all my tech needs and answer all my dumb tech questions. I've always considered myself a techie, but those guys step it up to another level and help me narrow down what I need to get, what I need to avoid, and what I must have in my ideal system setup. Yeah. So shout out to Justin and Fella, man.
Shout out to those guys.
Who is also an alternate for the our PUBG team. He's very good at it, but he's one of those Call of Duty guys. So I have to, you know, give him grace about that. Bro,
Call of Duty, I cannot play Call of Duty. One, the game just moves too fast for me. Right. First person is not my arena, bro. Like, I get sick. Because it's like especially if I watch streamers, like, and they just moving like 1,000 miles an hour, like, bro, how do you?
So
I don't know, man.
This way, that's what it sounds like when you have someone who's an amazing amazing college player, but then they get to the pros, things never slow down, so they never panned out. It's like, yeah, the game is just super fast. You know, it's like you're there and you just, I just wasn't able to, you know, maximize my opportunity.
Bro, remember we used to play Call of Duty all the time when we were both in college.
Played all the time, and it just,
it was against like the computer, right? It was just missions.
Yeah,
we weren't playing online against like online, tryhard.
The online didn't pop off until, man, I couldn't even put a year on it, but I remember when it happened because I was like, I ain't doing that. Because you kept hopping them chat rooms, and I got to hear about, oh yeah, it sounds like you're black, and just while the words coming off of your black lips, and I was like, I've been doing anything. I just killed you twice. Like, what? So, yeah. That's a story for another day. But, you know,
You mentioned Justin and Phil. I was like, man, I need to probably connect with those guys and try to ask them what's wrong with my dang computer. I probably brought one of those cheap PCs, bro.
If this podcast even makes it to the light of day.
Bro. Like, seriously, I am worried about this. Might be the lost episode.
lost files,
because I don't know if this will ever see the light of day because of all the technical difficulty we've gone through today. But yeah, this is episode 83, the Terry Glenn episode of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, we made it. Like, this episode's made it to YouTube. Like and subscribe. How did the creator say it, Dane?
Hey, man, make sure to hit the follow, like, and subscribe to get all the exclusive content and join the Nighty Gang. Because you're going to get the Nighty best Gang tutorials here. Man, shout and stealing content for everybody, stealing ideas from everybody, not giving anybody credit. I can't do this original concept myself. If you want to just hit that link in the description and let's go, man.
And you know, like, if, remember how on 2K you used to go on the videos and kind of figure out, like, you wanted to make a build or get VC, but they would talk for like 10 minutes before they said,
and 30 seconds of content. I'm like, put the 30 seconds of content at the beginning of the video and do your meaningless, senseless rant at the end. Yeah.
Purposely trying to extend the video length to try to get as many viewers and people like, to tune in. But hey,
if it's good, if it sucks, it sucks.
But, yeah, man.
That's 2K in a nutshell right there, too. So,
yeah.
Shame on you to keep buying that.
Appreciate our YouTube. Hey, that's me. I know that's a subtle shot at me. I'm going to keep moving on.
It's my last year. Not last year, but today. Do something better.
Hey, you said that the last time.
Hey, I told you about when the pest control dude came through 2 weeks ago. Yeah, pest control dude came through 2 weeks ago.
You told me y'all were talking about Madden and all that.
I had the revamped on one of my screens. He's like, oh, man, what year is this? And I was like, 2014. He's like, man. I was like, I'm on the Madden right now. I was like, yeah, I'm good on that. He's like, Madden was actually really good this year. I was like, oh, I'm sure it was, bro. So, yeah. It's cool. Joe was cool though. Shout out to Joe from White Knight Pest Control. It was cool. Cool. Solid dude. Hey,
plug, sponsor.
Yeah, we gonna edit that out. Unless they're giving me some coin, I don't need to be putting. Yeah, just make sure you edit that part out. I don't need no free advertising, them chumps. But they're not chumps. Yeah. You know, I paid them to, you know, do a service, but they, yeah, you know, you get it.
Yeah.
You get the vibes. Yeah.
I got you. Appreciate our YouTube viewership. And for our audio listeners on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to us on your streaming device, appreciate you for tuning in for episode 83. Dane, man, we're kind of behind on the NBA playoffs. Man. I think we mentioned a few episodes ago how
everything's
we always fast. Yeah. Yeah. And we always for us, and I think you probably agree.
I don't.
Like the NBA season really just kicks off after the All-Star game, and you know, the highest viewership obviously tunes in or comes in when the NBA playoffs start. And we mentioned it slightly yesterday off mic about what we've seen so far. Of course, my fandom, obviously, with the Mavericks and what they've done without Luka the first. I gotta go off the top, bro.
You know me. Mavericks plug.
Got to, man. Jalen Brunson balling out the game two and game three for the Mavericks against the Jazz. I talked to my he's getting the bag. Dane's doing the money sign.
Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
That was a cold celebration. Even though dude didn't pan out in the NFL, like, Buddy was caught, like, score a touchdown. Like, that was cold. Because everybody, all my high school players was doing, I'm like, bro.
Everybody was doing.
Yeah, my bad. Back to the NBA.
Back to the NBA. Talking with Eric, our homeboy Eric, fan of the pod, friend of the show. Yeah, diehard Mavericks fan. Facts. And after game three, when the Mavs won, I kind of texted him. I was like, bro, I honestly did not expect.
Is this our year?
No, we didn't go that far. Did not go that far. But it was more so, you know, if game three was in Utah and they played an emotional game two, big win over the Jazz at home. But usually when you go to game three on the road, first game away from, Dallas in the playoff series without your star player, it usually kind of spells like a loss. A
sweep, especially in the first round.
Right, a loss for, you know, the Mavs. But they hadn't won there since, I think they had said 2016, which is an incredible kind of thing. And it's kind of an interesting spot that the Mavericks are in, especially with Luka out. Like, how long do you rest Luka? He says he doesn't feel any pain, but if I'm the Mavericks, man, like, I would sit him maybe another game and maybe wait till game five when he's back at home. Dallas is back at home for game five. What do you think, or what have you seen so far from the playoffs, from what you've seen?
Okay, so you said a very important thing earlier, and I hit myself in the foot for not jumping in the sand something sooner. You said NBA typically really kicks off after All-Star weekend, and it's like, what kind of value does that place on the regular season? Not only to the players, but just to the fan, because if your viewership tends to spike, I mean, inevitably, you know, we know football is king and other people have other priorities, and then just the quality of basketball just is as much the same as it was before. But, or it's your opinion if you think the quality of basketball isn't the same as it was before in the recent years. But we say that the NBA really matters after All-Star weekend. Like, is that, I mean, obviously, I don't think it would ever happen because more games equals more money, but that would make more sense if the season was shortened, especially when you have a lot of your star players, your top 15 guys. You might be lucky if 8 or 9 of those guys plays in 65 to 75% of the games because of load management, trade negotiation tactics, and then an actual injury. So it's a tough thing to look at when you talk about getting your best players out there and seeing the chemistry or quality of games that we have out there right now. But obviously that isn't a concern right now, because there's amazing matchups across the board, regardless of what teams you like and what type of basketball you want to see. But for me right now, it's looking up. This is a great ass first round. I know we probably said the same thing last year, but this has been an, a pretty interesting first round when you talk about parity. When you're talking about, oh, I don't want to tune into games that are just blowouts. You know, I don't want to watch a 120 to 87, you know, point game. Like, I want to see something competitive that comes down to the wire. And I don't want to see a ton of sweeps. We're fortunate this first round there isn't a ton of sweeps. And that could be either all very authentic or this could be a situation where, you know, games are trying to intentionally be kept close to milk the, you know, seven games.
Well, I think Philly-Toronto is 3-0 right now. I think they play tonight. That game or that series looks done-ski. Especially at the end of game three, Embiid kind of going off. But to go back to what you said about the injury part,
is he healthy?
Well, yeah. And like, the healthiest team is going to win.
True. Which I mean, cliche, but it's realistic.
It's cliche. The healthiest team, obviously, but also like the best. But health is going to play a big part in who wins, who's ending up raising the trophy in the end, because we've seen Booker go down, Devin Booker. Mm-hmm. Joel Embiid said he's going to play through the injury, but it's a torn ligament in the thumb. Of course, Luka's out, or he's been out. Chris Middleton with the Bucks sprained MCL. It kind of goes back to your point about the length of the season, but they're in talks, or there have been rumors that, I don't know if you heard this, that they're thinking about having a play-in or in-season tournament.
Yeah, I think
similar to what they do in soccer.
It would spice it up, and that would be nice, but again, you want to continue to bring value to the regular season, because otherwise, what are we playing here? What is the incentive for players that aren't on, you know, max deals and great deals to play through it? And it's not even looking at it in a sense of, I'm a front office guy, what can I do to get the most out of my players? No, it's not about that. It's simply about, at the end of the day, you want to make sure the best team actually won. And the best team is standing tall amongst peasants, essentially. But I don't know if you can get that way if most of your top guys, your six or seven top guys, just can't cut it because of the toll that it's taken on their body. And we get to the postseason, it's like, we have guys left and right dropping. I don't know. Injuries are part of the game, obviously, but
it'd even be a catch up of, you know, them playing or coming back from the bubble or the bubble play where they took off all those time and then they came back and essentially played a second season after they had played a season previously. But yeah, man, basically, or definitely agree with what you said. The answer to this question might be different if I would have asked it last week, but we kind of talked about how the end, how we would kind of make our predictions, and a lot of has happened with injuries and things since last week. And of course the games have tipped off and stuff, and you know, our predictions probably would have been different, but who you got cutting down, or excuse me, I'll put it like this. Who you have in the NBA finals?
NBA finals.
You don't have to make a prediction of who, just what win. Two teams you have in the end.
Okay. Definitely the Warriors, because I want to see some fast-paced, fancy, maniacal numbers.
The Warriors are like, you love to hate them unless you're like a straight Golden State fan, and them getting Jordan Poole, and it's just like the rich getting richer. They already had the two best shooters in, you know, NBA with Klay and Steph.
The Splash Brothers.
Yeah, now that I got the Splash Triplets, but you know what I'm saying, it's not fair. But yeah, that's a fancy pick right there. Like I could see the Warriors back in the finals.
Yeah, and I would have loved to see the Bucks make it, but I just can't. Mm-hmm. I can't wrap my mind around them making it through the East without Middleton. And we can say what you want about Middleton and his inconsistency, but when he's on, he's on. And when he's off, the team is typically okay.
they don't win the championship last year without Chris Middleton.
Right, that's right. So I don't know. I might have to make an. I don't want to go cliche and say, you know, the Celtics or the Nets, because initially I would have picked my brother and I were talking about this, and we said, the Nets are going to kill these guys, and they're down 2-0 right now. So it's I don't know. I don't know who's coming out of the East, but I'm looking forward to whatever quality of conference finals that we get inevitably leading to the you know, NBA finals. But I don't know. I'd have to. I'm gonna take a. What is it? I'm a cop out and just say the Warriors making it on that side. I don't know who's going to take the other side. What about you? What you got? Oh, go ahead.
You mentioned parity at the beginning, right? And this is probably the most wide open, in my opinion, the playoffs have been in a while. We got new faces, or young faces, should I say. John Morant, Trae Young last night played well. We got in Minnesota, Anthony Edwards balled out a few games. The last game, not so much, but, you know, it's good to see young stars out here. The next generation, if you will, of NBA players and stars. And in the West, bro, it's hard not to go Golden State, right?
It's tough. Well, I wouldn't say it's hard, but you're going to – the first round of the NBA playoffs, it's essentially anybody. Anybody can have the opportunity to advance, especially this year. The second round, that's where you're going to determine where that playoff experience is going to completely take over the youth that we see in this tournament.
Oh man, you hit the nail on the head right there, because of course the trendy pick was Phoenix. They're the number one seed. They've been the best team in the league throughout the season. Most then consistent. Devin Booker goes down.
Yeah,
hamstrings. But then you got the Golden State Warriors, right? Uh-huh. And it looks like they're getting past the Nuggets. They're up 3-0. And with their experience, next round, they get a young Memphis team inexperienced in the playoffs. Or a young Minnesota team inexperienced in the playoffs. Like, you got Golden State, multiple championships, Steph, Clay, Draymond, Jordan Poole, you know, and you have this inexperience coming from either Minnesota or Memphis in the second round. Of course, they're very talented, right? But like you mentioned, playoffs experience, being in that moment, like Draymond Green had mentioned in that interview, guys are just guys.
He's not wrong.
He's going to play a big part.
I hope you put that clip in there, just a snippet of it, because he's not wrong.
Everybody not made for the playoffs, and I don't know if y'all can see that around the league, but you look around the league, everybody just not cut out for the playoffs. And, you know, GP is showing that with his toughness and, you know, with the mindset that he has, you know, you come out and you do what you do. But, you know, you got to give credit to guys who show up in the playoffs, because it's just not a normal thing around this league. You look around and some guys that you think are guys are not guys in the playoffs, and that's just what it is.
When he speaks, you listen, just because of he's going to keep it real, tell how it is 9 times out of 10. So,
right,
it's one of my favorite quotes that he said, and a lot of people still in the back of their mind. Me, I always think they don't love you like that. You ain't Kobe. So he knows what he's talking about.
Hey, the man's been, like you said, the man's been a big part of the Warriors championship runs. So, and he turns it up in the playoffs, as we've seen, especially again this season.
So I'll mute myself for just a second.
All right, you good? So I got the Warriors in the West. East, I'm gonna just go with Boston, because I'm cheating and I've seen them play and they look really good right now.
Okay.
They look like the best team in the East right now.
Marcus Smart playing out of Boston. All I thought about was Brooklyn. I was like, wait a minute, you think these fools going back?
Oh yeah, yeah.
My bad.
Celtics.
That's what I mean. I was like, whoa. No, you said the right name. You said the right name, but me being an idiot, I heard B and I was like, oh wait, Brooklyn? What? But no, Boston. My bad. Go ahead. Proceed, brother.
Yeah, I got Boston out of the East. That'd be a good series, Boston and Golden State.
That'd be dope.
But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the playoffs play out, and especially with the injuries and guys who decide to come back and things of that nature. In the NFL, Dane, big news this week. A lot of contracts, right? A lot of receivers trying to get the bag. And I think this all started when Christian Kirk cashed out for the Jaguars and got 4 years, $72 million, kind of throwing the market into an array.
Yep.
Debo Samuel, AJ Brown, and Terry McLaurin are planning to skip offseason workouts. That was the first bit of news that dropped. The
first domino.
And then first domino, Dane. And then Debo Samuel straight up said, man, get me out of San Francisco. I'm tired of being the wide back, as he called himself, splitting running back time and receiver time. And kind of came as a surprise because the reports were saying it wasn't really about the contract. He just didn't want to play that position anymore, right, in that scheme, in that offense. And if you think about it exactly, Dane, the wear and tear of – think about receiver. I mean, he's built different.
He is a running back in receiver's body in terms of body size. He and AJ Brown. Right.
And we know how running backs have been
devalued.
Devalued in this league, and sometimes even like they're here today and gone tomorrow. Like Todd Gurley, for example, like, you know, his value just dropped tremendously, even his play on the field. And like playing that running back position is kind of weird territory, because 4 or 5 years you could be out of the league. And for a receiver playing that role, I'm not trying to do that anymore, right? What do you kind of think about Deebo Samuel's trade request? Did it come as a surprise to you? It did at first to me, but I kind of see where he was coming from.
It came as a surprise for me. But looking at it and peeling back the layers, you kind of understand. Like, you have a guy, and this is a big topic right now. As a lover of the draft, I love that it is a life-changing moment for hundreds of men and getting the opportunity of a lifetime. I love that part about it. The worst part about it is those contracts. You're tied to those rookie deals, and you have idiots online that will say, well, you signed the contract, so you make sure you fulfill it and play it all the way out. But if a player shows up, the first round pick shows up, and they don't meet the expectations of their owners, they can get cut after one season. They can get traded after one season. So where's the honor in that? So I said all that to say this. You have a guy, and the
– Now, here's a guy.
In fact.
You got to do that slide in?
Yeah, facts a little. Facts. As much as – annoying as those two – or – They're both not annoying, but as annoying as that goes, guys can be, they're phenomenal at their job. But you have a guy who is going to be in the next 2 or 3, 4 years, they're going to be the top 5 conversation for receivers right now. Some might say he is there right now at this moment. Jalen Ramsey says he's right there, right? And Jalen Ramsey is the standard for cornerback in the NFL. So I take his word over anybody else, period. But he's in essentially the most run-heavy offense in the National Football League, and they use him as such. With that being said, we have seen the careers of amazing running backs flushed down the toilet because of management pushing them to get run through the ground in contract years so that they're not, you know, they know that those guys are going to work hard during that contract year to get the most out of their performance because they want to get paid. And most of the time, that's look for running backs, 300, 400 carries. Now, some running backs can take that, but this isn't the 1990s anymore. And just guys, the offenses aren't built that way anymore. And what you have to get with the times. Now, unfortunately, he was the engine that made that offense go, because it for damn sure wasn't the quarterback. But we have seen how that offense has done with their playmakers. They could care less about compensating them in the way that they need to be and just making sure that they're feeling valued and loved. So I 100% respect what he's doing. I 100% respect what he, AJ Brown, and Terry McLaurin doing, because those are, when you think about, especially Terry McLaurin, like, he's the best receiver. I've said this for years. He has been the best receiver in the NFC East since he's been there, because of how consistent he's been. So if the measure is, or the idea is for them to make sure that they're not only being compensated where they should be and not just being used because they're on these rookie deals, being playing for pennies and saving these owners hundreds of millions of dollars, do what you got to do, protect yourself, know your value, and do not compromise, regardless of what these idiots in the comments will tell you.
Not y'all. Y'all cool.
Y'all cool. Talking about the idiots in the comment section of these, you know, these articles and Twitter and stuff like that that say, you know, cut them, we don't need them. Like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Keep that same energy when Jimmy Garoppolo is having to throw the ball 56 times a game. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. Where do you think Debo goes?
That's a good one. Unfortunately, reports
were saying Jets, Chiefs, and somebody else. I'm like, Lord, please don't let him go to Kansas City. I can't deal with Debo twice a season.
I don't know.
But I wouldn't be surprised because it's an arms race.
I hope he doesn't end up in a doo-doo team. And I no disrespect to any teams out there, but, you know, some franchises are doo-doo rant. And that's just the nature of it. They have the they're going to have the most cap. They're gonna have the most cap, so they can afford to, you know, send the cap, the draft capital over there, and shell out essentially maybe $24-25 million average contract to who's going to be a top five wide receiver here in the future, if not right now.
Do you think you mentioned how the running back position is kind of like sometimes they get ran into the ground, you know, where they're not who they once were? Do you think, as a Cowboy fan, do you think Zeke is at that point, or is it too early to tell?
I think it's too early to tell because of two reasons. And my thing is, I love Zeke. Formerly I wasn't back then, but I loved watching good college football. And he was the epitome of that at Ohio State University. But I'm a fan now, obviously. As of 2020. Yeah, 2020. I'm a fan. So I love him as a player, but understanding the business of the game, he is out there primarily because we have no idea. I mean, people can beat me up for this if you want to, but Zeke was paid essentially because they had no idea what Dak Prescott was going to be. Zeke threatened to, you know, essentially hold out, I think, 2 years before his contract was up, because he was the heartbeat of the offense. The offense, people were scared of Dallas running the ball down their throat because of not only how impactful the offensive line was, but just how complimentary the running back was. It's not to say that the offensive line made the running back, but it's to say the running back and the offensive line complimented each other and vice versa. So it might, because of the way his contract is situated, shout out to his agent, but he has one of the highest cap hits for a non-quarterback this upcoming season. So he is going to be the way that Dallas is run football-wise as a business. It's not run, you know, as to be successful in terms of winning. They're a business model. And the business model dictates whoever gets paid the most gets to play. That's the way the management works. And I understand that. So a lot of people don't understand that yet, but maybe they will. But you're going to see Zeke getting trotted out there, and he's going to be the bell cow. And a lot of that pressure to be the guy and continue to be the guy and play through injuries is because they know they know exactly how the game goes. We saw it happen with DeMarco Murray. We saw it happen with Marion Barber. Like, when they're done with you, they're going to toss you, not re-up your contract, and keep it moving. So, you know, it was just the nature of the game. And fans would be fortunate if they realize that sooner than later. But, you know, play out your contract. You know, you signed the contract. Okay. Keep that same energy when your boss, you signed the contract as well, and your boss is throwing some as other duties assigned crap at your face, and you got to sit there and sit through it. I want to see you keep the same energy about playing through your contract. So, all right. We'll see.
Yep, and we are 5 days away from the NFL draft, at least the first round, and it is a great reminder to let you guys know that we are doing a first round draft party, watch party, on Thursday night via the Playback app, and I'll have the link in the description on this episode for you guys to go ahead and join our room and get that to authenticate your streaming service. We're also going to have an option. I'm trying to work it out now to where you guys can watch it on via Twitch. But I'm still trying to figure out that part. But if you're part of the Playback app, you'll actually get to chat in the Playback room with us, come up on stage and talk. So make sure your camera and mic is legit.
Facts.
So we just going to sit back and watch these picks, possibly see a Debo Samuel trade that day. Ooh. Who knows? Could go down. Could be a lot of trades that go down. So we're just going to kick back and open a couple brews, probably chill, and enjoy the draft watch party via the Playback app. Duo watch party should be fun.
Speaking of brews and drunk,
Yeah.
You seen that Baker Mayfield statue yet?
No, I haven't. I missed it.
That dude, the statue they unveiled
For Oklahoma?
Yeah. It looked like the dude from the Terminator. It don't look like Baker Mayfield. Whenever you get the opportunity, just go.
Hold on, let me look at it right now.
Look at it and look at the dude from the Terminator. I'm talking about the dude, the liquid dude that had the little giant sword hand.
The same dude that played in The Faculty?
Yeah, yeah, that dude. That dude. His ears like this.
Yeah.
He was chopping in the garage. He looked just like, that's who it looked like. Don't look like Johnny Manziel. That looked like the dude from the Terminator.
That's supposed to be Baker Mayfield, bro?
Allegedly. So I said, speaking of drunk,
I know he is pissed.
Yeah, someone with as big an ego as he has, I don't see it. I don't see it at all.
Oh my God.
I don't see it at all.
Oh yeah, that's bad. That's bad. That's worse when they, you know, when they be messing up the Hall of Fame bus.
Yeah.
But in, yeah, yeah, that's bad. My bad, Baker.
As show as yeah. get.
But anyway, yeah. Don't forget about our watch party on Thursday night. We'll drop a bunch of reminders throughout the week, and yeah, it should be a great time. Mm-hmm. But now it's time for. Nerdy news segment brought to you by.
Shout out to Keith.
Moon Knight. Episode 4. What?
Who?
Okay, to be honest, bro, I don't know how good of a review this will be for people that like really tune in and try to, you know, see what we think about the episode, because I will be honest, I don't know what the hell is going on. I was confused from jump. And so Dane, maybe you can shed some light for our viewers, listeners, and also your co-hosts here on what the hell is going on in this show. You kind of have some, you know, background with reading some of the comics on it. What's going on, bro?
Bro, we might get a filler episode. Episode 5 might be a filler episode. That entire episode might take place in that facility or in the purgatory-esque place. Spoiler alert. Stephen, Mark, right now they might be in between. What I think they might be betraying right now is the in-between world idea. Now, he's not really in an institution. In the comics, there was a particular time when he was captured and he was put in an institution and he was having an identity situation, if you will, and not realizing which identity was who or who he really was. So I don't know if they're taking inspiration from that, but this is the first episode that I haven't watched twice. I will tell you that. Mm-hmm. With it being six episodes, they're obviously, you know, they're not going to hit on all of them. This is me, Dane Beasley, in my review. I have to understand what's going on, how it plays a role in the bigger picture of the show. So I can't say I can put it down right now. And that's not me, you know, being an MCU stan or anything like that. But just being in reality, I've only watched it once. I didn't do any additional research in terms of figuring out from other people what their thoughts were, other people that I trust in terms of, you know, comic book guys, MCU nerds like, you know, myself. But I think there's just a multi-layered, multifaceted episode, which more metaphorical than anything.
It seems like, obviously, it's probably one of those episodes where you won't know, obviously you won't know until episode 5 or even when the series ends in episode 6 what everything meant in this episode, but it's definitely at a point where it's, I don't know, man. For me, it's like so much going on, and I haven't watched it a second time either, and maybe that's something I should do, because we saw so much in this episode. We saw Mark Spector getting shot, or Steven, right? We saw, hold on, you're muted. Are you muted?
Sorry.
Yeah, okay.
I coughed, so I was like, I knew I was about to cough, so I was like, let me just.
Okay.
Or it was one of them coughs where you keep your mouth closed, because you don't want nobody to think you got the COVID. You okay?
I do that around Karina sometimes just to mess with her. I be like, what's wrong with you? Nothing. I just coughed inside of my chest. But yeah, you see Mark Spector, Stephen, I was going to call him Stephen Strange. Mark Spector, Stephen Grant getting shot. We see kind of towards the end where he's in the mental facility or whatever. We see all the characters that we've been seeing throughout the show. The lady that was his boss in the museum. The frozen, what do you call those? Not a me, the guy in the spray tan gold. What do you call those people that are just like, you see, go to big cities and they just like frozen like this?
Like mines or Panamas, something like that?
Something like that. But he's in the facility. You basically see a bunch of characters and you don't know where we are at this point. Like this, like, I don't even know what to say. I haven't even said anything about this episode, to be honest, because I don't know what to say. I don't know what to think. I'm confused.
Just don't be fake deep. What we're seeing here is a characterization of the essence.
In his mind, he thinks that he is dead, Atlanta, but really.
I'm like, bro, no. I don't know. Maybe my interpretation of it is he's in some sort of purgatory. Or maybe he's having a crisis, if you will. Not sure which way is up and which way is down situation. So I don't know. Homie got plugged. Look, homie got sprayed, what, three times or twice?
I think it was twice.
Yeah, he ate a few bullets. So, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's still like we're at that point. I know we talked about Arthur Harrow's character. Like,
right.
If he's really the true villain of this show, which.
Hell yeah, he is.
Do you think he is, right?
Yeah, I think there's a possibility he's. Did you watch the, I guess it's a preview of episode 4?
Of this week's episode?
Yeah, the one that just dropped. Did you watch
the preview?
Yeah, it was like a 15-second preview.
Nah.
Okay, spoiler alert. It showed Moon Knight running up a pyramid and another character, which I assume is Arthur. They're running. The shot is like the pyramid's right here, right? And the shot is them, like, it's zooming in on them running towards each other and they're like about to punch, like, you know, comic book style.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill you. It has that. So I'm like, and that has it. It didn't happen yet. Unless it's just something they put out there just to mislead us. But that dude was a villain, bro. The man was walking on glass the first 15 seconds of the freaking show.
Episode 4, I don't know what to think, bro. Could be Spectre just playing in his mind. I don't know, man. I don't know. This is the worst.
You about to really sit up here on Jim Carrey's internet and say that Arthur might not be the villain?
I'm not saying he's not.
Boy.
I'm not saying he is either.
Arthur, what?
Could be another
a mislead.
What do you call it? Party at play.
Oh, okay.
Could be a god playing with the strings. You know what I'm saying?
All right, fake deep. Okay, I'll go along.
How's that
you.
Fake deep?
Well, what we're seeing here is someone at play with like a puppet.
We saw some gods.
True.
We saw Alexander the Great. And
we all know that gods. In the way that they're written are selfish. They have their own motives at play. So they want to come off as if they're all high and mighty, but they have some ulterior motives. There's some motives.
I need Khonshu back.
Yeah, we're going to see.
Need Khonshu back. Yeah, that was probably the worst review we've done. At least from my perspective. Like, I can't.
I'd say most critical. I'd say critical. critical. Okay. We're very critical of the episode.
We'll say that. TBD, because we got to see these next two episodes, see how everything plays out. We'll talk about episode 5 next week.
On to the next.
Yeah. Dane, did you happen to see the Thor Love and Thunder trailer that just released this past week?
Yeah, man. I did. Mixed feelings about it in a good way, about the trailer. Okay. Yeah, spoiler alert. If you haven't watched the trailer, go watch that, Thor, Love, and Thunder.
Released in this year, July 8th, man. Like,
right around the corner.
We see, okay, we're not going to talk about this forever, but you see what's happening over in DC land. And then you look at Marvel.
DC Animated Universe or just DCEU?
The DCEU, let me clarify.
Okay. You ain't seen none of DC Animated Universe.
All right. That's three weeks straight, Dane. I'm going to have to cut you off.
You going to fire me?
You should find me 50 Cent. we see what happened in DCEU land. Then you look at Marvel Studios and what they've done. Content. We're eating good. We've been eating good since the pandemic in Marvel content land. What'd you think of the trailer, bro?
I'm a little sad. I hope this isn't a farewell tour from our Thor Odinson. Like, I hope this isn't what that is. But to the untrained eye, watching it once or twice, or how many times I watched it, it just seems like it could be a situation where it's a passing of the mantle. I'm not opposed to another, representative playing the role of a Thor, but just bittersweet because this is the character that we've grown to love so much just over time, just because of not only his interaction with other characters that we deem close to our heart, but just because of the content of the character. Like, this is Thor. Like, this is one of the most powerful characters in all of MCU. But I don't know, maybe it could just be a misdirection and maybe my interpretation of it, but it just seems like a farewell tour.
Yeah.
Of sorts.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you on that aspect. And while you were saying passing of the mantle, I started to think Thor is an original Avenger, but he's the only one to get a fourth movie, right?
Technically, yes.
We have Captain America coming out with a fourth movie, but it's not our original Captain America. Is that why you said technically?
What do you mean he's not our original Captain America? The answer.
Okay. I'm not going there with you, man.
Hey, Gracie, you want to explain what you mean by that, brother?
We had Steve Rogers for the first three Captain Americas, and the fourth one is not Steve Rogers. It's Sam Wilson, our new Captain America.
Oh. So you're saying we don't need Captain America. We got Captain America at home, did you just say?
Okay. No. Interesting. No. Beta Cap, no.
Interesting.
But I will say this. Yeah, get the notepad out. Because look, I agree with you on the Thor mantle passing. Because look, we've had the Hawkeye show, right? Which was in sorts passing the mantle to a new Hawkeye. Right?
Was it?
Yes. Captain America passing the mantle to our new Captain America in the Falcon and the Winter Soldier show. Right? We have Black Widow's character in her movie. Not passing the mantle, but we see a new character that could possibly replace her and her sister, Yelena.
A new widow.
Right? Iron Man died. He didn't get a successor yet.
Wow.
But what I'm saying is we've seen this kind of pattern before from Marvel where they introduce someone could potentially take over. Who did I miss? Hulk? Hulk is getting one. She-Hulk. Thank you. So we've kind of seen this before with Marvel kind of setting up a new character to take the place. Of course, we've already seen this character, Jane Foster, before. I think that's not out of the realm to kind of see this as a possibility. But the trailer was a Taika Waititi trailer, right?
Right.
What we've seen from him in Thor Ragnarok and the bright colors and the out-of-this-world kind of cinematography is something that I think we'll expect with this movie. We got the Guardians in this movie as well. I don't know how long they'll be in the movie, but it's kind of cool to see familiar faces like that.
Well, actually, Freya is a guardian, so technically it is a guardian.
Asgardian, right? An Asgardian. Yeah. And then, of course, the end shot of the trailer showing Jane Foster as the Mighty Thor, which would be cool to see kind of from that aspect. And what they didn't keep, what they didn't put in the trailer, obviously, was Christian Bale's Gore, the God Butcher, which, with this mention of gods, man, that we've been seeing in, like, Moon Knight and with this movie, we're going into that realm, or in Eternals, right? Then we talk about, they talk about gods in Eternals, so kind of moving in that realm in the MCU of the gods at play in this universe. So it'll be interesting to see what this movie will go, or what direction it'll take, and if it'll actually be the last time we see Thor Odinson.
And we might have seen a glimpse of Zeus as well.
Film. Maybe another guy,
another pantheon that we have to talk about. So I don't know. We're gonna see.
Do we know who's playing him? I don't remember.
I feel like we do know. I don't know, but it'd be kind of cool for us to get Hercules now too. So that'd be dope for him to be introduced.
Played by Henry Cavill.
Scott,
that'd be dope.
My gosh.
But yeah, Thor Love and Thunder coming out July 8th, I believe, of this year. Of course, we got Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness coming out in less than 2 weeks. It's going to be dope. Of course, we'll talk about that more as it gets closer. And Dane, episode 83 in the books, man. Appreciate you so much, bro.
I appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. Yep. I just want to give one shout out. Shout out to my cousin, D'Aubrey Hood of Harker Heights. He is on his way to regionals right now after qualifying with a 100-meter dash time of 10.4. You said that?
A PR, right?
Yeah. His personal best. I saw you retweet that. So shout out to him and his endeavors. You know, hopefully everything works out for him. He continues to run hard, train fast, and get out there and do what he knows he can do. So shout out to my cousin, my kinfolk. It's my favorite.
Go, D'Aubrey, go.
Favorite cousin. Don't tell your brothers and sisters. You're my favorite cousin so far.
Shout out to D'Aubrey, man. And also for our Killeen audience that listen to us from our hometown. Mm-hmm. Even if you're not from Killeen, man, Dane knows this. Been working on a documentary about our high school.
Do I know?
Yeah, this? Yeah, you know. Do I know you? Been working on a documentary for our high school 1991 state championship team, football team. The same year of the Luby's tragedy, that was at that point the largest mass shooting in American history, happened in Killeen, in our hometown, that same year. The city dealing with that, and the team kind of using that as a rallying point to be what the city needed, and going on and winning the state title. It's been a cool project to work on with Derwin Graham, who, you know, works at ESPN. He's from the Killeen area. Ashley Rudzer from the Killeen area. Krayshawn Fleming from Killeen. And they brought me on the project to help them out with it probably back in August. And it's coming together. All that to say, finally got our premiere at the Celebrate Killeen Festival on Friday, April 29th. And we'll have a 3-day limited online viewing on YouTube after that. Should be pretty cool. So I'll put the link to that in the description as far as the Killeen Festival goes. But we posted a small trailer, 45 seconds, yesterday, Dane. And it's like got 13,000 views, man. It got retweeted by Dave Campbell, Texas Football Magazine. Matt Stepp from Dave Campbell, Texas Football Magazine. It's got some eyes on that mug, so... it's really been cool to be a part of the project, especially being from Killeen. Dane, you've heard the story a lot about the city and, you know, everything that happened during that time. So just wanted to plug that, and I'll put the link to that in the description, man. But other than that, bro, appreciate you. Appreciate you. Our listeners and viewers. Right. Episode 83. Don't forget, you can give us a 5-star on Apple, Spotify, a review on Apple as well. And like Dane said, how do YouTubers do it, bro?
Man, make sure to hit that follow, like, and subscribe to get all the exclusive and premium content. You heard it here first, man. Just join the night again. Get all the best content, man. Keep this channel going, man. Just go, man. That's how they go. And you can barely hear what they're saying because they have a horrible third party off brand trap music in the background, like it's like, wait, what did he say? Sound like a garbage disposal going off. But anyway.
Oh man. You're right about that, bro. Episode 83 of the Dual Sports and Stuff podcast. Episode 83 of the Duo. We out. The Duo.